Sorry about that. There's a singer out there, so there's lots of traffic on the road. Kakadu getting in. Okay, so before we start Tefillah, there's an interface between Betochen, Ishtadlus, and Tefillah, which I want to try and show you. The Mod Chashuv. We're holding by Reish Gimel Perek Dalet. Anybody wants to see we're holding, but really we're between the two chapters, the chapter that deals with the Betochen and Ishtadlus, the Ishtadlus of a Baal Boteach, and then we have the Tefillah of a Boteach. So we've raised many questions, yeah. There's an important Yosodia, which of Dessler brings out, which is important to know. And we'll see where the interface here is between Ishtadlus and Tefillah. You'll see the two go very closely together. Rabbi Zvil Zatzalia is going to deal with it slightly differently to what I'm saying now. So don't get confused, but I just want to lay down some foundations here, which are, you can't argue with them. Yosef HaTzadik, he was the Tzadik, and he teaches us a big lesson about this subject. Yosef was needed by Paro. He was needed by Paro. Paro needed him. That's the way the Ashgocha Yoina. That's the way the Ashgocha Yoina set it up. So you must know that it must have been very hard for Paro to want Yosef. First of all, Yosef was an Ivri, and the Ivri were a despicable thing in the eyes of the Mitzrim. And this was an Eved. Made it even worse, and not only that, but he was a criminal, terrible criminal. He did a terrible avera. The Paro needs him, so Paro schleps him out. They schlep him out of prison. They bring him to Paro. Paro tells him, "I believe you, the God that can understand dreams, and I had this dream." And what does Yosef say? So, what would you do if you were in your situation like this? This is your chance for freedom. So, what would you say? Yeah, for sure, I can translate your dream, I interpret your dream. What does Yosef say? Will I die? I can't do this. I can't help you. I'm sorry. I can't do this. The Lokima Pitronan. Hashem maybe. Avalani ani lo chol azol lecha. So if I was Paro, I would have said, he needs you. I would have thrown you back into the pit. What's going on here, Yosef? It's not a very tactically clever thing to do. But Yosef had learned a very important lesson, because Yosef spent an extra 2 years in prison for making plans. Yosef made a plan. Yosef made a Ishtadlus. Which for sure there was a, on our level, there would have been a chiyuv, but on his level or on where the way he approached it, we see there was a problem, and he landed up 2 years in extra 2 years in prison. Now he comes out of prison and he gets put in front of Paro, and he says, "Bilada, ani lo yechol azor lecha. I can't help you. I'm sorry. I don't know how to portray dreams. What do you want from me? Bilada, without me, ani lo yechol. I can't. But Hashem can help you." So Yosef learned his lesson. He spent 2 extra years in a Egyptian pit. So you learn your lesson, yeah? You learn your lesson. You don't make plans. You put it on Hashem. But the Ramban points out a Moedic thing here. Yosef says to Paro, and Paro says, "So what should I do? They're going to be 7 good years, 7 bad years. He says, "Find an ish noven v'chochem. Find me a clever, Yosef says, go find a clever guy and put him in charge and da-da-da, et cetera, et cetera. The Ramban says Yosef had himself in mind. Yosef was applying for the job. He was telling Paro, make me that guy. Well, you didn't learn your lesson, Yosef? You didn't learn your lesson? Well, what are you doing? You spent an extra 2 years in prison because you were getting in the way. Then you come out of prison, Paro says, please interpret my dream, and you've learned your lesson. You say, Biladai, ani lo yochol. And now you start making plans again? Now you're starting to wedge your way in to get a job for what's going on here? Desley explains Moedic. When the Ramban says that Yosef had himself in mind for that job, that was after the Biladai. It was after the recognition, Shezelo ani, it's all Hashem. When Yosef was in the prison, and he asked the Sarah, whichever the Sarah Mashka, the Sarah Mafia, one of them, Lozochil, both Lozochil, what happened there, to remember him to Paro, there was before the Biladai. he was making an ishtadlis. He felt that that was what was necessary for him to do. On his level, don't apply this to yourself. Aval, when he realized what happened, he got an extra 2 years in prison. He understood that that was wrong. So when he came out of the prison, he was post the biladai. When Paro says, please interpret my dream, he says, biladai, ani lo yochol. Now he's not making plans. Now he's making ishtadlis, fully well understanding. So call me Hashem. That's all from Hashem, biladai, ani lo yochol. And he recognizes he has the opportunity that Hashem's brought about for him to make the Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. It wasn't a Yeshua for him. It was the Yeshua for Klal Yisrael, that he'll be the Mishnah Melech and he'll be in control and he'll be able to bring the brothers down and there'll be starvation. He'll be able to continue to feed Klal Yisrael. I understood that's the moment. But not because of his plans, but because Hashem's doing it. And I now have to go do what I have to do, like David HaMelech. Like David HaMelech. I'll overtake my enemies, I'll pursue them, I'll kill them. And Shem says, Shem says, I'll do it. David HaMelech is way past the Biladai. He knows he's not doing anything. And now he goes and he does, because he knows that Hashem's doing it. So, a very important, as I said right in the beginning, connection here between what's called Ishtadlis and Tefillah. What's our Biladai? For us, our level, for us, what makes our plans and our achievements into a Biladai? So that we don't fall into the trap of the Kocher Etzim Yodi. That's Tefillah. That's Tefillah. What do I mean? So there's a big kasha with Tefillah. There's a big kasha on Tefillah. Stam, before we even start, I mean, he's going to discuss this as well. Oh, well, yes, Tefillah is completely non-understandable. Derech HaTov LaHeitiv. It's the way of good to give. Hashem wants to give. If it's good for you, he'll give it to you. And if it's not good for you, he won't give it to you. What, where does your tefillah fit into all of this? Well, why are you davening? You're davening for something. You know, if it was good for you, Hashem would give it to you because derech hatov lahitiv. And if it wasn't good for you, you can ask for it as much as you want. You can scream and shout and beg and plea. If it's not good for you, you're not going to get it. No father gives his child poison because the child's begging for it, yeah? Yeah, you don't give your kid to play with a loaded gun because he's crying. He wants to play with a loaded gun. And if you don't give it to him to play with, he'll have a tantrum. So he'll have a tantrum, but you're not giving him a loaded gun to play with. You know, that's understood. So where does Tefillah fit into all of this? So, okay, there's no one answer. There's many, many different approaches to this question, but for what I'm discussing, and which I think is more relevant and real for us as opposed to ideal for us, is that Tefillah represents the Biladai. If you get something without asking for it, you don't always know where it comes from. You might even think you've done it. When you daven for something and you get it, you know where it's come from. And you know that you couldn't have got it without that. Nobody walked into Mini Machane Yehuda, yeah, the spice shop down here in the Merkaz, and asked to buy spare parts for his motor car. Why not? Because you know that's not what they do. You can't buy tires for your car at Mini Machane Yehuda because that's not what they do. But if you would ask them for tires, it would be because you thought maybe they can get you tires. That's why you're asking them. But you don't ask somebody for something that you know he can't give you. If you ask him, it means that you know that this could be the source for what you're looking for. So when you daven, what you're doing is you're recognizing the source for what you get. So when you get it, you know where it came from. Now you know it came from Hashem. So the tefillah is our biladai. The tefillah is Hashem, I can't do this. But if you'll help me, if you'll do this for me, then I'll do what I have to do. But I know that you're doing it, Hashem. If you go ahead and do your ishtadlis and you do everything you're doing without the biladai, so then you can come to Koach Veitzim Yodi very quickly because you think you're doing it. You made plans. Wow, you made plans. Ah, I made plans and I did this and I did this and I worked out this and I worked out exactly the way I wanted it to. Yeah. No, that's the problem, Koach Veitzim Yodi. You think you did it. I done it. I knew a guy, he always used to tell me, I've done it, come look what I've done. The Israeli guy, yeah, look what I've done. I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and this, and this. Here, I've done. He didn't do anything. He was the foreman. He used to sit there and tell everybody else what to do. But he done everything, yeah? So, no, you done nothing. If you done everything after the tefillah, after the biladai, for sure, you did what you had to do. David pursued his enemies, overtook them, he killed them, full schar for that. Aval he understood, Hashem, ani o isakein. That's what we have to do. And what helps us to do that is the tefillah. When you daven for something, you recognize where it comes from, and you know that without Hashem, you can't do it. Now you can go do what you have to do. And there's no risk, or there's a lessened risk of coming to the which caused Yosef another 2 years in prison. Don't know what it causes us. It's obviously not a good thing. So that's the interface here between what's called the shtadlus and tefillah. Tefillah is the recognition that it's not for me, that it's from Hashem, and I need Hashem. Otherwise, why are you asking Hashem? And Hashem says, you need to ask me, because if you get it without asking, you become like a garbage spoiled bread. You think you've done it. Only when you have to daven for it and you know that it's coming from Hashem, so then you can get it and use it properly without losing the plot. Fine. So that's a bit of a prologue to what we've been dealing with and a hagdama to what we're going to be dealing with. As I said, his approach is slightly different. Well, you'll see the same idea running through you. The question here?
I can understand he did too much of Shabbos, but he knew it was coming from Hashem even before the
deal. Okay, how we understand Yosef? How we understand Yosef and what was Yosef's level or whatever? I don't know. Good, that's a nice passage. I'm not dealing with that now. I'm letting out the cloud. I'm letting out the principle here that you see on Yosef, on his level, whatever we're talking about consistently through the whole story of Yosef, whatever that was on his level, how, whatever, but I have to extract what it means to me. What it means to me is I have to be careful of putting too much trust in my plans and my shtadlus and my efforts, and I need to be able to recognize that it's Hashem. How do you do that? By davening. That's what tefillah does. Tefillah makes the bila die. How we understand Yosef, I don't know. That's a subject for another discussion. We can discuss how we understand the sins and the mistakes of the great ancient ones. That's also, there's also a Moedik Kishtik on that. I think we even spoke about it once. We spoke about Rav Safra. How we don't understand, of course, because they lived in a different world, in a different language, but we have to, the Torah is written for us. Yeah? The Torah is written for me. The Torah was given to me so that I can understand what I need to do. So everyone has his biladai. Yosef's biladai, whatever his was. But for us, tefillah is a very, very, very important tool. More than that, but it's a tool that helps us get out of the Koich Ve'etzim Yodi and into the biladai. It's not me. Yeah, Zemuvan. Okay, if there's questions on this, let's deal with them. Otherwise, we'll start. There's much more here. It's endless. The more you go into the subject, there's ended of a sofa. But we have to, each time you go, you take something new, you add to it, you build on it, you work on it. This is a lifetime's work, you know. So, but we have to do what we have to do each day. You learn something new, you apply it, you internalize it. Okay, so there's no questions on Betochen, Ishtadlis, let's start treading tentatively into the sugya of tefillah. Now, I don't need to tell anybody here that tefillah is much bigger than the 9 pages we're going to dedicate to it here, okay? Tefillah is the end of a sof. Of the 4 prokim in the Nefesh HaChaim, one of them is dedicated to tefillah, okay? One's dedicated to Torah, one's dedicated to tefillah. So you see, it's a big subject in the total arena of the Shulchan Aruch of Hashkafa. Tefillah fits in very big. Besides the halachas of tefillah and how to daven and where and what, but just the musak, the machshava, the practical how to undaven, that's a massive sugya. Books and books and books and books and books have been written on this subject. So we're not going to answer everyone's questions and all the problems in 9 pages. Let's move on, yeah? But we'll do what we can. We'll open up a subject and hopefully it'll lead to further study. Yeah, and on your part as well. Okay. Now we have to meditate and think deeply about the subject of tefillah. Shiva kashas tachanunim v'shailas tracheinim es Hashem. It's the requests for mercy, it's our pleadings to Hashem, and it's our request for what we need. Kashis boinim b'dova nimtze shal pi shittas ha-betochen ha-rishoyna. Remember, we had the first shita of Betochen, the Chovas Levavos, the Rabbeinu Yoina, that Betochen, She'anu botim Hashem Shimoles Kol Mishalas Libeinu, that Hashem, if you're a Baal Betochen, Hashem will do whatever you want, he'll give you whatever you want. If you should do a tefillah einu matara elem tzui. Tefillah is not the goal, it's the means to an end. That's what tefillah is, yeah? You have enough Betochen that you'll get whatever you ask for, now just ask for it. So tefillah becomes a means to getting what I want. Because the purpose of tefillah is to fulfill my requests. But tefillah be bialidei kach, and tefillah brings you to get your request fulfilled. Lefi derech ze yisparish maimer chazal. With that in mind, we can understand the chazal that says, Imro adam shein tefilosem na'anis, yachzo v'ilet palo. Chazal say, a person sees his tefillah is not being answered, he should go back, yachze lit palo. V'akavona ish is akish v'tzir. You should go and be makish, go on, so go daven more. The Yasif betochen al betochen, add more and more betochen to your betochen, atchet is kabbal tefilosem v'hu yakabbal eshelosem, until you get your tefillah answered. We'll find out on the side here, the Goin points out that Yachzi Vitpalel means concentrate during Chazoras Hashas. You see that your Shmoneh Esrei, your davening is not getting answered. So miskaven to Chazoras Hashas, maybe you'll get answered in the Tzchus of the Tzibur. We mitstarif to the Tzibur. Most of us don't listen to Chazoras Hashas. Start listening to Chazoras Hashas, Revin Kavona, that's the Goin says. Okay, that's just an aside. So that's the first sheet of Betochen. The first sheet of Betochen is tefillah is a means to an end. If you're not getting answered, so go back. You go build up your betochen, you know, pump up your muscles and daven again until you get answered. But that's not our, that's going to do with us. L'umazois, l'fi shittas ha-betochen ha-shnir, shivu anu betuchim v'ashem, shekol ma'ad avid rachmanu l'tov avid. In our sheet of betochen, the betochen we're trying to grapple with, where we understand that whatever Hashem does is for the good. L'chayr etzim ha-tfilah in edov ha-muvan. So where does tefillah fit into this? If everything Hashem is doing for the good, why are you asking to change it? Why are you asking for more? Why are you asking for less? You understand that everything Hashem does is moided, biduk, what's good for you. So why are you arguing with Hashem and telling him to change it? Shema betochen kavanos el kabas al kol dova bo leinu betmimus mitoich yediyah shakol hu memenu yisparach. If the understanding of betochen is that we accept betmimus with an understanding that everything comes from Hashem and therefore everything's good, as mat kashem, adu alai levakesh es tzachas. What if you daven for, like we said earlier? If it's good for me, I'll give it to me. If it's not good for me, you won't give it to me. No matter how much I ask. In mitzvah shel es berachu shiyechas v'chalim oni choyle ochoshur boni maria le kavu kol zeis lelo shelot. If Hashem decides, God forbid, Rechman letzal, I'm going to be ill, or I'm going to not have children, or I'm going to have this problem, that problem, I have to couple that without questions. I have to couple that ba'avu b'simcha. Why would ask Hashem to change it? It's the best thing for me. If this wasn't the best thing for me, it wouldn't be happening. That's what Betochen tells you, no? Betochen tells you, Zeh Adava, this is the best possible situation for you. You tell Hashem, I disagree, please change it. That's not Betochen. That's back to Koich Vayitzim God. I know better than Hashem. That's what Tfilah is. You're arguing with Hashem. Therefore, it's the best thing. So, what are you trying to change? You understand the problem? It's stomach kasha, but for a Baal Betochen, someone's working Betochen, this becomes daunting. So, there are many, many approaches to this problem. We're going to see what he says. Let's see how he deals with a very mechudish dika understanding. Let's see how it works. It's more practical and you can utilize it. It's one facet in the Dharma, I'm just telling you now. It's a big, big facet. You could spend a long time internalizing and working, practically dealing with this. It's a mod machazak of our, just know that it's just one aspect. If this doesn't resonate with you, you have to find something else to answer this question. There's big, big kashas here. התשובה לשאלה הזו הוא, כי חכמוס יסברך גוזו, כי שום שפע בעולם, ואפילו זה שנגזר עליו ירד ממראים, אין ירד ללא תפילה. The first yesodia, you can't argue with it, it's the Rashi right there by Adam Arishon, that we'll see now, that the Chochma Elyona decreed that nothing can come into the world without tefila. Even if Hashem was gozer that it's going to happen, a bli tefila can't come down. Why? Because that's how Hashem set up the world. That's how he set up the world. You want something, you have to ask for it. We all know the pasuk. All the grass in the fields hadn't sprouted, and all the siach, the trees, the growings of the hadn't grown, and all the asev, the grasses of the fields hadn't sprouted, because Hashem hadn't watered, He hadn't made it to rain on the arets. The adam ain lavad es adama, because there wasn't a man to work the land. Why didn't it rain? What's the matter? Hashem's got a problem, not enough water, why not rain? Adam ain't lavar is Adama, because there's no one to be ovid is Adama. Vain maki betoivoson shel geshomim, and to recognize the good of the geshem. Why does it rain? What's the purpose of rain? So there should be water, there should be grass, there should be things grow. That's one purpose. There's a deeper purpose. The purpose of rain is for us to see the chesed of Hashem in the world. By the way, that's the purpose of everything in the world. Everything in the world has a deeper purpose than the purpose we see. What's the purpose of a seed? A seed of an apple. What's the purpose of that seed? What do you mean? Sure, come on, grow up. It's so that you should plant it in the ground and grow apple trees, so you'd have apples. Yeah, that's a small purpose. That's a minor purpose. The inner purpose of an apple seed is for you to see the godless of the chesed of a Kodesh Baruch in the world. First of all, to see the greatness of the chochmah, and to see the chesed. The whole world is there reflecting the chesed of a Bo'er Olam. When you look at a beautiful world, when you see a beautiful sunset, you feel something inside of you stirring. There's a mystery there. You're right. That beautiful sunset is telling you that there's this chesed Hashem here. So the purpose of the rain, if there's no one there to appreciate and to see the chesed of the rain, so then it's not going to rain. When Adam Rishon was, when he woke up from whatever he was born, whatever, I don't know what you say, he was created, he came into the world, he saw that this rain is a big need of the world. You have to have this, you have to have this. Oh, sorry, I've just lost Zoom here, 1 second. Okay, sorry about that. He saw that there was a need for this in the world. Hitpalel aleihem, say daven for it. V'yodu, v'tzmocha elonos v'adashoyim ad kan Rashi akodosh. That's Rashi. Adam Rishon woke up. He saw that the world needed rain. He daven for it and it rained. And if he hadn't daven for it, it wouldn't have rained. It wouldn't have rained. Because Hashem set up the world that nothing comes into the world without tefillah. Klaima. L'marot she'ageshomim haim tzairecha oilom. Despite the fact that rain is a need of the world, and for sure it has to come down, it has to rain. Calls man, there was someone not to daven for it, no one was davening for it, it won't come down. Why? Because Hashem can't make it rain without my davening? No, because Hashem set up the world for best for me, and what's best for me is that it doesn't rain until you daven. Zuma rechaz akesha akemes ben shemayim v'aretz, v'shemayim mashpim shefel aretz. That's the relationship, very basic understanding of the relationship between Shemayim and Haaretz. The Shemayim mashpiers Shefel Haaretz. It brings down the flow and it flows down towards the Haaretz. Ulam rak b'tnai, there's a condition. She'odam anim t'baretz mechabrim b'koshosei v'tfilosei. That the man down here in this world, in this lowly world, he joins Shemayim v'aretz with his requests and tefillos. The Shefer's then Shemayim. It's needed down here on the Aretz. What's mechaber the Shemayim to the Aretz? You and me, through our tefillah. Moshe Madavadayme, the Zerem Chashmal, Amagia Lechol Bait. You have Chashmal, you have a flow of Chashmal, electricity that comes into every house, right? Kedel Ano Ismeire, Chayim Lechotz Ala Metag, Lahire Sacheda. You can have as much Chashmal coming into your house as you want, but until you push the switch, the light just doesn't go on. Wow, I have to push the switch. That's Chevrat Chashmal's problem. I ordered Chashmal. Why is the light not going on? You have to put the switch. Well, I switched. Don't hack me switch. I asked for lights. I asked for Chashmal. No, no, no. You have to push the switch. Kamo kain ha-shefa mukhan ha-muzuman hu la'adam. The Chashmal's there. It's waiting for you. Just flip the switch. So too, all the shefa that's got to come into the world is there waiting for you. V'atfil hu ha-metag shebem tzoyis ha-makabal anas ha-shefa. The tefillah is like the switch that opens up the flow and it can now flow into the world. Okay. Tov. Now now that's the basis. That's the fundamental yesod. There's nothing to argue about. Zeh kol zeh. Machlokes the Rambam and the Ramban, whether the tefillah is a deraisa, whether it's a derabbanan, whether you have a chiv to tefillah, you don't have the chiv to tefillah. And lo nechnas lezeh. Everybody agrees that when you have a tzora, then you have to daven it to the raisa, and everybody has tzoras, so it's not going to make a practical difference. Anyway, we have to daven 3 times a day. I'm not just talking about 3 times a day. I'm talking about all our davening. Talking to Hashem 24 hours a day, talking, speaking, discussing, negotiating. He's your best friend. So you speak things out with him. That's also called davening. We're talking about all these things. But there's a lot of different types of tefillahs, and there's a lot of different approaches and relationships, and at different times, different places. Same as betochen. You'll see that tefillah is made up of many different things. Eser l'shoynes of tefillah, the Rashi there, Vais Chanan, brings down the 10 l'shoynes of tefillah. Rav Pinkas Zatzal wrote all Sefer Sharim B'Tfilah, it's now in English, called Gates of Prayer. Surprise. Sharim B'Tfilah, they translated as Gates of Prayer. No surprise there. And that's a Moridika Sefer. That's a Moridika Sefer. He's a Ya'uzina. Okay. His father was involved in the beginning of getting that thing translated. Anyway, Art Scroll put it out. It's a Gavaldika piece of work. I think it's Art Scroll. Lo Zocheh. And that's a Moridika Sefer. That Rav Michal Yudas Zatzal said if he could, he'd obligate every person to have a copy of that book in his talis bag. He goes through the 10 different types of tefillah that there are and how to use which one when and which problem requires which tefillah. Say, a Moridika Sugya. We'll see. We'll go into it, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow. We'll start picking up and start taking apart tefillah. And then we'll start seeing how this relates to our subject of betochen. Okay. So this is hard stuff. This is difficult work, but every day you make a little bit, you understand a bit, you internalize, you grow, you develop, you have to work on this. Coming here half an hour a day and hearing what I have to say, is not going to change anything. Take it and work it. Beseda. Okay, Rabbi, so have a good day. Take good care, and we'll see you tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem.